shall we read together this morning the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. We'll read from the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And again, may God add his blessing to the reading of this beautiful portion of his word. It's always difficult to give a last message, and I'm not going to occupy a lot of time this morning. But in thinking about the past week, I thought I couldn't do any better than read this beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of David. It has been said that David wrote three psalms after that sin that we were speaking about the other day. A terrible, terrible episode in his life. The first psalm that he wrote was Psalm 51. And there you get his confession. He goes into detail about his sin. He doesn't hide anything at all. He mentions the three different forms of it. And he mentions the forgiveness that God had given to him. And the second one he wrote was the 32nd Psalm. And there we get his praise and thanksgiving to God. And looking to the future, he said, he shall guide me with his eye. 32nd Psalm, again, is a beautiful psalm of contrition and also of dependence upon God. But the third one that he wrote was the 103rd Psalm. Now, I know that some would dispute that, but in the Syriac version of Holy Scripture, it said that 103rd Psalm was written in David's old age, and it does complete the trio of the three different psalms that he wrote in connection with his sin that he committed. David wrote 73 psalms, and many of them are prayers. And I suppose the most of the psalms that he wrote, the They're interlaced with prayer. But the psalm that we've read here this morning, there's not a word of prayer in it. It's all praise and thanksgiving to God. And it has been said that it's divided into three parts. And looking at it as a musical composition, in the first part, it is a solo. And then in the second part, it is a chorus. We find a number of voices here, and the pronouns are all in the plural, and then at the end, it is a symphony. We want to look at the three parts just very briefly here this morning. In the first one, we get benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And there are five of them altogether. And in the second part, where we get the chorus, there we get five blessings. And then at the end, in the symphony, we get a fivefold benediction. So let's look at the first part just for a moment and look at the five benefits that we receive, that David received from God, and that we have received too. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, notice that word, benefits. There are five of them here altogether, and they introduce us to five different things, benefits that David had received from God, and that we have received too. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? There we're introduced to the law court. That is the epistle to the Romans. Who healeth all thy diseases? There we're introduced to a hospital. And that takes us into the first epistle to the Corinthians. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? There we're taken into the slave market, and the great word redemption is used, and that would take us into the epistle of the Galatians. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? There we're taken into the royal palace, and that would take us into the epistle of the Ephesians. And then the fifth one, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There we get the completion of these benefits, and we're taken into the Epistle to the Philippians. Now, it was Alexander White that made that suggestion of the five different benefits here and the different epistles that are lined up with it. Now, that would open up a great field for exposition. And I'm not going to occupy time in talking about it this morning. But I want to emphasize that word, the benefits that we receive. You know, that's a word that's used very often today. A young person, after they have completed their education, they're looking for a job. And first of all, they're very anxious to know what the salary is going to be. And then the next thing is the benefits. Now that word benefit, at the present time, has a technical connotation connected with it. The benefits is the pension and all the different things that are connected with it. On the trade union movement, they're very anxious to know what the benefits are in any particular job or any particular situation. The benefits. Thank God we not only have that salary that comes from God himself, but we have the benefits as well. And these five benefits that we get here, it covers the whole ground of those wonderful, wonderful things that we have received from Almighty God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? First of all, the law court of the Epistle of the Romans. And then secondly, the hospital. Who healeth all thy diseases? Not only physical things, but spiritual things as well. And there are a lot of them in the first epistle to the Corinthians. All kinds of problems and difficulties there. I've been in a good many places around the world. And I've been in thousands of assemblies. And I have never met any assembly anywhere in the same condition that Corinth was in. And you know, if it had been in this country or some other countries that we know, if an assembly was like that, they say, leave them alone. Have nothing to do with them. Cut them off. But that is not the way that the Apostle Paul felt. And certainly, as far as the first epistle of the Corinthians is concerned, it was a spiritual hospital. And he took care of it. And thank God, the man that was responsible for the recovery of the diseases and the different things that were in the epistle, in the first epistle of the Corinthians, the man responsible for the recovery was God's dear servant, Titus. He paid 3 different visits, and his name is mentioned 9 times in the second epistle of the Corinthians, and certainly the difficulties that were there, they were resolved by the ministry of that dear man. You know, the Word of God is always the remedy for any particular difficulty or trouble. But then there is the physical. Who healeth all thy diseases? You know, some people today would tell us that it's a sin to be sick. As a matter of fact, the charismatic movement today, that seems to be one of their themes. If you're sick, well, it's your fault, and you don't have faith. I was reading again the life of that dear girl who was paralyzed from the neck down, Johnny. And after that happened to her, some people came to her and told her that all that she needed to do was to look to God in faith and He would heal her. But she wasn't healed. And it upset her terribly. You know, it's a terrible thing for people to go through a person like that and say that. It's your lack of faith that you haven't been healed. You know, there's a difference between faith healing and divine healing. And this faith healing business that we find today everywhere, a lot of it is phony. And we could tell stories about that. But thank God there is such a thing as divine healing. And no matter what the situation is in our life, if it's God's will, He can heal. Now we have had that in our own life. And I could tell of miraculous healing that we have had ourselves over a long period of years. If it's God's will, He can lay His hand upon you apart from any human instrumentality. He can do that. But sometimes it's God's will that we stay with it and the lesson that teaches in it. Remember the Apostle Paul? He had that thorn in the flesh. And he tells us that it was the minister of Satan to buffet him, that is to beat him. And 3 different times he asked God that it may be removed. But the answer he got was no. And the answer he got was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he speaks there about the compassion of God, the love of God, as spreading a tent over him. You know, very often it's God's will for a person to suffer. And sometimes the pain or the problem is not removed at all. But thank God for the grace of God that helps us to cast ourselves upon Him and to trust Him no matter what happens. Sometimes it's God's will to remove us and to take us home. Robert Murray McShane is one of the most godly men that we know about as far as the history of the church is concerned. He died of tuberculosis when he was 29 years of age. Can you understand that? There's some mysteries about pain and suffering, but at the same time, we do thank God that when it is His will, He can lay His hand upon us and raise us up. He is Jehovah Rapha. One could go on and on talking about this, but I'll thank God for this lovely, lovely word, this lovely promise here. One of the benefits, He healeth all thy diseases, whether they are physical or whether they're spiritual. And then the next one is, He redeemeth thy life from destruction. one of the most blessed words in the whole of the Word of God is that word, redemption. Here we're introduced to the slave market. We know a little bit about this. When I first went to Africa, slavery was very, very common. On the first journey I had, going across the old slave route from the west coast right into the interior, at that time, the drones of people who had been taken down to the coast as slaves, dying on the way, a long, long trail, right from the center of Africa down to Benguela at the coast, it was lined with the bones of those that had died, and the shankles lying there under a bush in that area. The slave market. But thank God we have been taken out of the slave market. A price has been paid for our redemption, and then we have been set free. There are three words in the New Testament connected with redeeming. And the first one is to pay a price. Peter speaks about that. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Thank God for redemption. One of the sweetest words that we have in our language today is redemption, redeem. Looking for a word to express this in an African language, the word that was used was onjovoli. It's a lovely word. One of those soft, beautiful Bantu words that we use for the redemption and for the Redeemer. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? How precious this is. Here is the slave market. Found in the slave market, a price paid, and then taken out of the slave market, and thirdly, set free. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here we get at the end that satisfaction that God has given. Mouth satisfied with good things. You know, one thing I don't think that we here in the United States realize. In this land of plenty, thank God for the way that God has blessed the United States. There's not a country in the world has been more blessed by God than this beloved land. But when you look abroad and see some of the things that are happening, I tell you, we have every right to thank and praise God for what He has done. I was at a conference some years ago in another part of the country, and there's a lot of young people there, and they went and heaped up their plates with food. And they left about half of it on the plate. And one of the brethren that was responsible for the conference, he had to get up and say, only take what you need. And he said, don't allow good food to go into the garbage. I tell you, people who do that kind of thing, they should be in Ethiopia today. Or they should be in some parts of Angola. I was over there not too long ago. And to see children dying of starvation, it was a sight that I will never forget. And there are hundreds of thousands, there are millions of people today that don't have sufficient to sustain life, dying of starvation. And it's not a pretty sight to see children especially dying of starvation. But oh, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? And I think we should be devoutly thankful every time we sit down at the table, the good food that's spread before us, and lift up our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to God. Now, I don't want to say anything more about this first part, but here are the benefits. And there are five of them all together. And as we look at them, it's a complete picture, the benefits that are given to the people of God that know Christ as Savior. And then in the central part, here we get the blessings, and again there are five of them. Just that look at them. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither shall he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now here is the first blessing in verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. That is the astronomy of love. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far hath he removed. So far hath he removed our transgressions from it. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And then number 2, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That is the geography of love. First of all, the astronomy of love, as far as the heavens are above the earth, and then the geography. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Then verse 13. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That is the paternity of love. The love of the Father. The paternity of love. And then verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That is the anatomy of love. So here we get 5 different figures concerning the blessings that God has conferred upon us. And again, you could take a long time in looking at them. I believe that each one of them gives a different aspect of the blessings that God has conferred upon us. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far hath he removed our transgression. Some years ago, I was out in California, and I was very anxious to see the greatest telescope in the world. Been interested in astronomy for years. I went down to Mount Palomar and went into the observatory there where the greatest telescope in the world is located. I thought I'd be able to go in and put my eye to the eyepiece and have a look at the heavens. It's only a scientist who's able to do that. That big eye of Mount Palomar, 200 inches across. Tremendous telescope. I wasn't able to do that. It's completely enclosed, and it's only a scientist that's able to go in and put his eye to the eyepiece and look at the heaven. But what I did see was the color photographs that were taken with that tremendous telescope, and it absolutely boggled my mind, and the statistics connected with it. Sir James Jeans, he was the Astronomer Royal over in Britain, he made a statement. He said, as far as is known by man, he said, the universe in which we live, he said, from one end to the other that is known, he said, it's about 100,000 million light years across. Now, my mind cannot take that in. And as far as the Milky Way is concerned, they say that there are about 30,000 suns equal to the sun in our solar system. As I look at this, I think of the majesty of God and of the Creator. And the statement that's made here, as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Our mind cannot take it in. But thank God we can enjoy it and think of that mercy that has been bestowed upon us. And each one of them, each one of these 5 things here, gives us a picture of God in his mercy and grace that has been bestowed upon us, poor human beings down here in this world. And then, verse 17, But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear him, and his righteousness on the children's children. That is the eternity of love. Thank God for the love of God. You know, every time I look at these five things, I think of the statement that Paul made in his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he speaks about the love. He said, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. He speaks about its breadth and its length and its depth and its height. And to know the love of God that passeth knowledge. That is a four-dimensional love. And I think that here we get a five-dimensional love in the 103rd Psalm. And then at the end, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, all ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord in all works and all places of his dominion. And then it ends the same way it commences. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, the simplest at the end, there are five things here as well. A tremendous benediction at the end of the psalm. First of all, we read of his throne in the heavens. And then we read of his kingdom that ruleth over all. And then bless ye the Lord his angels that excel in strength. And then his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And then ending up and taking in everything. Bless the Lord all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So at the commencement, it is a solo. But as David himself is speaking, and then in the center, these five great blessings that were received, there is a chorus. But at the end, it is a symphony, and the whole creation that God has created is taken in. And it ends up with, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, if I look at these things, it's impossible with any human tongue to describe the mercy and the grace of God that has been bestowed upon us. And I think all of us can say, from the bottom of our hearts, bless the Lord, O my soul. I was reading just a little while ago the autobiography of Mr. Harold St. John. I heard him for the first time at a conference 30 years in 1930. We were home from Africa on our first furlough, and Mr. St. John was there. Now, he called himself St. John. And I understand that when I mentioned that St. John, people didn't know who I was talking about. In this country, we say it's St. John. But his daughter, Priscilla, wrote a biography of her father. And in that biography, there's a wonderful, wonderful statement by Mr. St. John himself. And just in closing, I want to read it. And it covers the ground in this beautiful psalm that we just have been reading. This is what he says. I have good health, a wife next to none on earth, five children, not so bad, and many other things. They are all mercies, but not what the Bible calls blessings. I have some blessings too. Peace with God, eternal life, justification by faith, the love of my brethren, a home in heaven. And I could go on all evening telling you of my blessings. Now, what is the underlying distinction between mercies and blessings? Just this. Mercies may be swept away in a moment by a bolt from the blue. Health, family, friends, may be swept away in a flash, like Job. You have no certain tenure of your mercies, but nothing in the universe of God can touch a single blessing God gave you. If you have eternal life, you have it for as long as God lives, and every blessing stands on the further side of the death of Christ, and they are all secure in the death of God's beloved Son. You know, to me, that's absolutely amazing. Thank God for the benefits, and thank God for the blessings, and also thank God for the mercies. And all of us, I think, here this morning, unitedly, would say, bless the Lord, O my soul. May God bless His word. Just a little word of prayer. Our blessed God and Father, again, unitedly, we lift our hearts to Thee with worship and praise and thankfulness for all that Thou hast been to us. Our Father, as we look back over life, and think of Thy sovereign mercy in laying Thy hand upon us, picking us out of the crowd, and bringing us to Thyself. Our Father, we worship and praise Thee for this. And then we thank Thee, our Father, for Thy preserving care. We thank Thee for preserving us from traps that might have ruined our life and ruined our testimony. And our Father, as we come toward the end of life, we thank Thee for all that we have realized during the past. And looking forward to the future, we thank Thee for that blessed hope that we have in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Himself. We thank Thee for Him. We thank Thee, our Father, for all that He means to Thee and all that He means to us. We thank Thee that He's the altogether lovely one. We thank Thee that it's that one who has laid down His life for us. And our Father, we pray that from this moment until Thou dost take us home, that we may be loyal and faithful and true to Him until He comes. And our Father, we thank Thee not only for the blessed hope, but we thank Thee for the fellowship of Thy dear people that we so much enjoy down here. What a blessing we have. And our Father, we commend each one to Thee. We think of the journey today that many of our dear friends will be taking. We pray Thy protection over them. Preserve them, we pray Thee, of the hazards of the highway, and take them home safely. And we pray that the blessing of God may rest upon each one. And once again we ask of Thee, Lord, give us faithful hearts to Thyself, until that moment when we arrive in Thy presence. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.